This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I'm broadcasting, as always, from the Chicago suburbs, where it's a little bit overcast today. And I'm really happy, glad that you join me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I hope that you will also visit and subscribe to spingolaspeaks.net and screeningsandyhook.net. If you wish to ask questions or make comments during the program, just email comment at spingola.email. I also invite you to visit our very friendly chat room, which is at spingola.chatango.com. If you wish to review the names of the guests that I've had previously on the program, and I've had I've interviewed so many interesting people. It's been a real pleasure, real privilege for me during this last 10 years. It'll be 10 years in October, actually. Oh, it is October. It'll be 10 years on the 23rd of this month. I will have been on the air here at RBN for 10 years. Yikes, time goes by really quickly when you're having a good time. Anyway, if you want to look at who I've had on the program and see who I will have on the program in the future, just visit spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button on the left, and then choose the appropriate page. We will take calls probably, in the second hour, and we'll do that at 800-313-9443. My first guest today is Legal Man, who claims that he is America's most trusted lawyer, which kind of seems like an oxymoron. But nonetheless, I certainly have appreciated getting to know and understand and value his views. I actually met him on Twitter. I've been active. Well, I signed up for Twitter in 2012 and really just became active this year. And I've just really enjoyed it. I really enjoy his views, believe in most of his ideas, and the history that he cites. His website is thetruthaboutthelaw.com. He also has a podcast called The Quash, and you may listen to that at the-quash.captivate.fm, and I will post those links in the website, or in the chat room. Well, welcome to the program, Legal Man.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a real privilege. I have to laugh at some of the things you post. You post some very interesting things. And you really just started doing the podcast in May of this year. What made you decide to do a podcast?
Well, the COVID situation, the insanity going on with the corona. I couldn't believe, and it was impacting my business, and so I had more time on my hands anyway, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was just so mind bending that, you know, it kind of started out more as a catharsis and just kind of a need to, a way to kind of mentally deal with what's going on. And, you know, I've enjoyed doing it, so I just kept doing it, and people seem to like it, so that's really why.
Indeed. I was listening to some of them this morning, and they're wonderful. They're just terrific. And people can go through the entire list. Starting back in May, I was listening to the one this morning. I was listening to is the Constitution is not binding on you, And that is very interesting. But I do wish, hope that the listeners will visit that website and listen to all of your wisdom. Anyway, you've been a lawyer for 30 years.
Yep.
Correct.
Unfortunately. Yes. Yes, I have, unfortunately.
No, I'm sure you've helped a lot of people. Being the most trusted lawyer, I'm sure. So you started doing the podcast, and did you get more active in Twitter?
Well, I started being more active in Twitter as the same kind of thing when I didn't have as much to do during the day, so I was just more active on Twitter, and I just, my God, you look at what's going on with regards to just the same old position, just sort of an official narrative, people arguing in between it, and so, yeah, I'm on there. I like to interact with the people that come into my realm. I go out and do stuff, but I like the people who kind of follow me and I follow. It's just a lot more sane, and you go out into the regular Twitter sphere and wow, you really get confronted with a lot of stupidity and just mostly closed-mindedness. That's probably the thing that bothers me the most about the vast majority of people. They're just so closed-minded, and that's one of the biggest problems we've got in the whole country. You know, there's a lot of closed-minded people out there who are convinced they know things that they don't know.
And that, what do you suppose that's due to? From programming, TV programming?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. I mean, a lot of it's human nature. You know, it's not easy to admit you've been fooled. That's been going on forever. But people are just so convinced they're right because they're just never exposed to anything, any kind of paradigm outside of the very narrow paradigm that people are given. And you can just sort of pick, you know, A or B, and then there's like a very minor C, but every single one of the paradigms and the sides to them are not true. And so people have lived their whole lives just imagining that arguing, so much arguing goes on between the left and the right, that it seems like one of those has to be right, and people just become attached to these positions and don't understand that there is a whole nother set of positions that are completely outside of that paradigm that are, I think, just they make a lot more sense. And the reason they're not discussed is because they make a lot more sense, and they would make the system not work for the people the system is designed to work for. So,
right.
You know, I think human nature and the educational system, every single piece of media is controlled outside of, you know, smaller kinds of independent things like you might operate or that I try to put out on a podcast. You know, someone's out there making millions of dollars in media. That's a position that the people who are running things want to be out there. That's the only reason it's out there, the idea that they're somehow bucking the system. That's not true. They are some form of controlled opposition. Otherwise, they would not be out there making millions of dollars. It just wouldn't be happening.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Right. And that's why I've appreciated alternative radio, such as RBN. And what amazes me so much are the people who absolutely adore Trump. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Look at what has happened since he took office. How can you possibly think that he is a great politician? The small business closings, a big transfer of money, house arrest, this COVID nonsense, masks, just on and on. How can people...
Yeah.
Even like the guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, that one is so amazing. There's such a, wow, he's got so much loyalty in his base. Exactly why, I'm not sure. He is, I find him funny and entertaining. I don't think he's a good president, but I don't think there's been a good president, but it doesn't matter. But his people, they love him, and they can't seem to sort out the difference between what he says and what he actually does. And he tweets a lot, and he's funny the way he makes fun of the press, and that's accurate. And it's like so much of this analysis that goes on in, say, right-wing radio, that's super popular, or Fox News, at least it used to, whatever the standard sort of conservative view, that's what kind of Trump pushes as kind of a slight outsider-ish kind of push. And the thing about it is, a lot of the stuff he says is right. Like, you know, these liberals' ideas, they are crazy. They are kooky. They can never work. And so he rails against those. The problem is that the good analysis, wrong solution. He doesn't have good solutions. He pushes the same kind of trillion-dollar nonsense and unconstitutional crap that they're pushing. He just pushes a different flavor.
Right.
And that's the part they can't get. But I mean, I listened to that right wing. I used to be a huge constitutional conservative for a long time. It's been a long time, but it's because I'm getting old. But for a long time, I was a big believer. And you know, it as long as you're within that sort of mind framework, it sounds really good because the solutions, whenever I listen to the radio, like, some of these big national guys, good analysis, you know, identifying all the terrible liberal this and that. And then the answer is to supposedly vote for Republicans if you want to, quote, save the Republic, and you're for liberty and small government. But the Republicans aren't for liberty and small government. And that's the disconnect that the people just can't see. They cannot see that, yes, liberty, justice, freedom, minimal government, those are all great ideas. That no part of that do the Republicans actually support. They don't actually support any of it. They just say words. It's the flip side of the way Democrats talk about fairness, equality, giving back, investing in education. Those are all lies. They don't actually do any of that. They're abusing people. But they say those words, and the liberals say those kinds of words and believe them, and Republicans can see that they're lies, but they can't see that their own liberty, limited government, freedom, constitution is just a load of crap in the way it's actually executed. They just can't see it. I don't understand why. It's a baffling situation. I used to have conversations with people all the time where I would actually sort of address that. And I've never, ever been able to figure out what goes on in their mind, ever. And I've had so many interactions on Twitter. That was one of the reasons I got on Twitter maybe 4.5 years ago is when I first got on. And it's the only social media I'm even on. I don't have any other kind of social media as legal man or even personal accounts. I just don't run them. And I got on it just to kind of see it, you know.
Sure.
I just wanted to see what was going on. It was more of a social experiment. I was just amazed at the insanity of the way people react. You give them a simple fact that blows up what they just said or posted, and they just get angry, and they just start going off on you. It's like they're not really interested in the truth. They're not interested in the truth. They're interested in promoting this idea they have. They just get totally attached to it. And that's just the weirdest thing to me. That part's the strangest to me.
Yes, it is. I have never engaged in social media. I did have a Facebook account for maybe 3 months, and I thought, this is such a waste of time. This is not anything that I want to do. People are posting everything that's wonderful in their life. You never hear anybody say, oh, I had a really lousy day. My husband left me, you know, the dog threw up or whatever.
Right.
You're never going to hear anything bad. Everybody has this beautiful life. It is just a bunch of garbage. But on Twitter, you do get more of a selection of people, and you can follow or unfollow or just ignore them. And sometimes I get really ticked because you post something that and give the sources and give the information, and they just don't get it.
Facts don't matter. I've said it for a long, long, long time. And like I said, for me, getting on social media was just kind of a social experiment to see, because I don't really have the ability nor the desire to interact in real life with thousands of different people. It's basically impossible to do. Social media is the only way to do it. And of course, tons of them are just bots and paid accounts, paid participants. But there's a lot of real people, and I'm pretty good at being able to tell their systems. But, you know, facts just do not matter to most people. That's just, facts don't matter. And that's one of the biggest problems, this sort of constitutional conservative load of crap that they push on people has, in that they just over and over and over again go at people with supposed facts. And that's never going to convince people. It will never convince people, like these people who are these far out liberals. It's not about facts to them. It's just not about facts. And on the conservative side, it's not about facts either. It's about a feeling that they're a patriot and support the Constitution. They love liberty and they fight for individual rights and justice and we're the good guy. And on the liberal side, it's just another whole set of beliefs. And anything that contradicts that belief, they just toss out. They have a million excuses for it. A million excuses every single time.
Well, you know, this thing with the candidates and everything, and the producer just brought it, just sent me a little note. He said, well, we could have had Jeb Bush. And you know, that is so ridiculous because, okay, we had George H.W. Bush, then we had George W. Bush. Okay, so why not have Jeb Bush? Gosh, right. Isn't there any other families? If you look through in history, you had the Roosevelts, and then you had another Roosevelt, and you had Adams.
Right.
There must be some
was
other families.
Royalty?
That would make a good president. And so I think when Trump came along, he was not a politician. Well, not in any sense of the word. He wasn't a professional politician. And so that's why they voted for him. And yet when you look at his history, I think, my gosh, he was friends with Jeff Epstein. And he's been married 3 times. Not that that's, well, it's an issue. Two of the wives were.
It's an issue. It's an issue.
He cheated on his first wife with Marla Maples or, so you think, well, gosh, if your wife can't trust you, how would you think that the people in the nation can trust you? And in 2008, when Epstein got arrested, well, then he said, oh, I was never a fan. Well, that was a big lie. That was a total lie. If you read the history of his experience, his interaction, with Epstein, gosh, they had breakfast together on a regular basis.
Right. Again, these facts don't matter. Just like that ridiculous show they put on with those debates. Or it's just it's just a series of lying, endless lying. And so everybody just lies. They just go around the country lying to people. And everyone's so used to being lied to, they just expect politicians to be lying to them. And so people don't care. They pick based on personality. And I really think that Trump got elected based upon him saying he's going to lock Hillary up. That was what moved the needle. I mean, it was a very close election, ultimately, regardless of how much you can believe if any of the numbers they even give us are real. But as far as the reporting of the election results, they were close. And I can 100% be sure that what tipped the scale was people who voted because they wanted to lock her up. There's no doubt that was a sufficient percentage swing in light of how small his margin was.
Absolutely. Because
and
we
he didn't
thought,
do anything.
They're finally going to get Hillary. She's a mass murderer. She's a piece of garbage.
All these things.
So a vote for Trump was just really a vote against her. And then as soon as he won the election, they were all buddy buddy again, and he was praising the Clintons.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes.
All righty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with
you. All righty, we are back, and our guest is Legal Man. And how much do you blame Trump for the lockdowns, or do you blame Trump? Is it the state governments, or is it Trump? Is there anything that he could do to prevent it? Is he responsible for this, or is it the state governments? What are your views on that? Did we lose our guest? Okay. Did you hear my question?
Yes. Can you not hear me?
No, you must have muted or something. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what was going on. I haven't adjusted anything. I didn't mute anything. But my position would be that Trump, it's a combination, but clearly the construction of the narrative, this idea that there's this dangerous, deadly pandemic that's killing people all over the world, and this very uniform action, that's outside of his control, but he's playing his part. And with regards to this country, none of this stuff about his national declaration.
You kind of went out there. Yeah, you cut out when you said none of this stuff, and then you kind of cut out.
Wow, that's weird. I'm not moving around, so I don't know what's going on with the connection. Is it a better connection now or not?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Well, I'm trying not to move either, because I know sometimes it's cell, but this, I should have.
Whoops, you just cut out again.
How about now?
Okay, talk.
Anything? Okay, let me just try this. Well, I would say it's a combination of things. Honestly, he's not responsible for the construction of the narrative, but none of this can happen without the National Declaration of Emergency. This is the part. I've had endless interactions with people on Twitter. It's like, well, the governor's locked us down. One Trump. It's like, well, it's true. Maybe the governors could have abused their emergency powers briefly for a week or two. But the simple fact is they don't have the money in the states to continue this. And the only thing that's permitted this to just run on and on and on and on month after month is the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in fake money that the Fed is pumping out to states, individuals, all this stimulus. The Fed itself is propping up the markets. That without all that fake federal money, none of this can happen. It cannot continue to go on. It's an impossibility that the people would be in the streets, but they're being paid off. And that's all on Trump, because without the national emergency that he's declared, then there's no ability for the federal government to get involved and spend all this money. And without that, then there's no ability for the governors to do it. And on top of that, I remember in the beginning of this ridiculous nonsense where every single day, beyond the TV, having this little MWOW press conference, which is basically just an infomercial for himself and all the different drug companies and everything else. And he would bring Tony Fauci up and Deborah Birx and tell everybody day after day after day for weeks how they were the most brilliant minds. He has the greatest team and they're working on it. Those people are just a bunch of jokers. And so again, he really embedded the narrative into people's minds that this was dangerous. We're facing this huge plague, he calls it. So he did a huge amount of damage with that. There's no getting around that. And he does a very similar thing to what Clinton did in the 90s. He attempts to triangulate himself and act like a victim of the system. Well, he's in charge of the system. He's in charge. He could have fired Tony Fauci day one. He could have, I mean, anyone who knew Tony Fauci, it was a Tony Fauci has been a scammer for 35 years in government. He, any virus.
Hmm. You're cutting out again.
I'm not even moving around. I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll call you back and maybe get a better connection. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, you know, one of the things that bothered me too, when Trump was first elected, and when this, well, not when he was first elected, but when this event, the so-called event occurred, the first thing that he should have done, I believe, is to fire Fauci. And then you also have to realize that this was something, the patents on the COVID, were created in 2015. And so he must have agreed to go along with this as Legal Man suggested, because he's the one that is giving the money to the states. So do we have him back? Okay. So anyway, okay, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the path.
All right, we are back, and our guest is Legal Man, and we were talking about whose responsibility this was. Was it the governors, or was it the president? Was it President Trump? And after all, he was dishing out the money. And the other thing that is kind of interesting too is that, well, first of all, he plays golf with somebody that has stock in one of the medications that he took while he was in the hospital. I find that a little bit annoying. And the other thing too is that, it's a coronavirus. This is not the first time that there has been a so-called issue. The H1N1, back in 2008, when they were trying to get everybody, vaccinated, and they were, turned out to be, you should question stuff like this. If you see a repeated pattern, you think, gosh, what's going on? And I was talking with a gentleman who lived in the very town, I was friends with him, who lived in the very town where this outbreak was supposed to have occurred. And it occurred immediately after Obama went down and visited with the local authorities down there in Mexico. It was in Mexico. And then all of a sudden they announced this big emergency, and all these people in this town were supposed to be really sick. And my friend said, nobody got sick. There wasn't anything going on. And so people have a very short memory. They don't recall what happened before. They just kind of live in the moment they're programmed. The TV programs people. That's why they call it programming.
No doubt.
I haven't had mine on since March. I unplugged it, and it's fine. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, there, certainly people have an unbelievably short memory. But again, even if you bring up facts and you remind them, they'll just excuse and they'll find it. A million ways to create exceptions in their mind to what are clearly just directly on point. Like I said, Tony Fauci has pushed multiple different supposed virus hoaxes for 40 years, and always the same. He's telling everybody was going to die. I remember in the late 80s, they were telling us everybody's going to get AIDS. We're all going to get AIDS, and there are going to be millions and millions of deaths for the dude going to sweep through and all. It's just none of it ever happened. And once again, just burying information, just like they're doing with this one. It doesn't matter if it was Legionnaires in the 70s, H1N1, SARS. It doesn't matter. It's the same scare tactic over and over and over. And that's why, to me, people say, is it Trump's fault? Well, again, I make it very clear that without the Fed money, Without the Fed money, this cannot continue. It is totally and completely impossible for states to survive like this. And in fact, they're looking to get bailed out now. And so he could have done that. Without that national emergency, there's no money. There just is no money to run that. But beyond that, the actual narrative that he continues to push, that we need to wear a mask, that we need to socially distance, that we need to be careful, and all this crap, and that the deaths, he counts at 200,000 deaths, every single one of those things is a highly questionable, quote, fact that he does not bring people in to challenge. So if he's not responsible, what is he, who is? I mean, imagine if he stepped forward and told people, don't wear a mask. There's no science on a mask. And he brought all those doctors in who are getting shut down from YouTube and all. There's thousands and thousands of doctors all over the world who've spoken out. And there's tons and tons of studies. Two of my closest friends are MDs, and we've looked very closely at all the stuff. There's no study supporting this nonsense. If there's a dangerous virus, if there's an infectious agent, you have to be hooked up to those sort of spacesuit-style air things where you have a line to the ceiling and the air is pumped in. You don't just put a mask on your face and get any protection. It's not protection. But Trump doesn't bring people in and challenge that. He doesn't bring those scientists in. He could have had them every day instead of Tony Fauci. He could bring those German guys in. He could bring the Spanish doctors in. He could bring all sorts of people in. And he could open people's minds to the fact that all of this is not a matter of, well, we need to be careful and say, no, there's fundamental issues. Before you talk about wearing a mask, you have to decide if wearing a mask does anything. If it doesn't do anything, then there's no reason to be wearing it. If social distancing is just an arbitrary made-up thing, there's no reason to be doing it at all. It's not a matter of should we do it a little bit or, you know, is this too dangerous? We got to be careful. He doesn't change the conversation. So I see no evidence at all, none, not one tiny bit of evidence that he is on our side and he is fighting this Corona narrative. He's just not.
Right. And initially he said that he was taking hydroxychloroquine and that would prevent him from getting the COVID. And then all of a sudden he gets it. So did he quit taking it? What happened? And the other thing too, with the mask, they say that actually if you sneeze, your spray could go 27 feet. And so they're saying, oh, six feet is the distance. It doesn't make sense. And when you try to talk to people, they think you're nuts.
Right. Well, it always goes back to the same thing. The public health officials have never been sworn in and made to testify and been subjected to cross-examination. See, they get up and they make a statement at a podium. They just get up and make an unsworn statement at a podium. It's garbage. It's not useful for anything. The reason you have situations like you do in trials is that you get sworn in. And first of all, before you could ever come forward and testify about something that requires expert testimony, you have to be qualified as an expert. You have to produce a report and say what your actual opinions are. Show everybody what the data that you're basing it on and let people know what your opinions are going to be. And then you give those opinions and someone has an opportunity to cross-examine you. Well, if we're all going to be locked down and these people are going to claim that they're in charge and they get to just say, oh, you have to lock this down and open that up and 50% this and 25% that and 6 feet that stuff all needs to be subjected to cross-examination so that the people that can see whether or not there's any legitimate science to any of this. And the reason that not one single public health official has undergone this kind of cross-examination is because they know they can never withstand any actual cross-examination. And again, this is something that Trump could have done through the Department of Justice. He could have said, these things are completely outrageous. It's completely out of control. I don't know who Tony Fauci thinks he is, but the people, the American people, are entitled to have somebody sworn in and produce some actual evidence before they take everybody's rights away. But it hasn't happened. 7 months and nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it.
And it was supposed to be, what, 2 weeks?
The entire system is, It just shows you that everybody in the system is working together. That if anybody was seriously interested in the truth, oh, well, the lady in South Dakota and Florida and all this crap, none of these people are swearing their experts in. None of those people are bringing in their attorney general, videotaping a live cross-examination under oath of these health officials. None of them are. And they haven't produced a binder of documents to show the evidence that they actually used. How much is missing? There's no other side of this being told, and nobody is standing up to defend the people. And that's just what's so glaringly obvious.
Right, especially given the losses of businesses.
Right.
And all
tens
of
millions
money
of jobs? Oh, my
yes.
God. All those people, the family violence? How many people are depressed, suicidal? How much family violence is going on? The people
right.
come home, they've lost their jobs, they're taking it out on kids who are trapped there, who can't go into school now, women getting beaten up. We don't have any idea what's going on. None of it's being tracked. And the people who are tracing overall mortality, you're looking at excess mortality tables, there doesn't appear to be any place where there's actually excess mortality. You know, there was a very brief period where there was some excess mortality in New York, but if you look at actual excess mortality tables now over 7 months, there just isn't any. There's no excess mortality, which just means whatever deaths are occurring are not statistically significant and are simply being reclassified as COVID deaths, because
right.
that's what they are, because there are no autopsies. There are no autopsies. Well, if there's no autopsy, being able to know what killed somebody is incredibly complicated. You can't just get on the stand and say, oh, that's what killed them. No, it's very complicated to know what killed somebody. Very complicated. And we don't have any of them. There's nothing.
Exactly. And they came out on a Friday night. The CDC came out and said, well, there's only really been under 10,000 that have died as a result of COVID. And yet, whenever they do announce something that's important, they do it on the weekend because people will ignore it or not listen or not hear about it.
Right.
The other thing about Fauci, he's on the record as for mask and then against mask and for this and again. So he's always right no matter
right.
which side. Yeah.
Well, he publishes a paper that says you don't need to wear the mask, and he goes out in public and acts like you do need to. And when the
right.
thing first broke out, he says, well, you don't need to wear a mask. And then he changes it and says you do need to wear a mask. Again, there's a classic example of where if the man had been sworn in, then we wouldn't be in this problem. He either had to take a position early on, and that's his position. And any expert who flip-flops like that, their credibility is blown. It's over. No one's going to trust him on anything after that. But these government officials are never sworn in. It's just they're never sworn in. They step to podiums and make announcements. Before they ever step to a podium and make an announcement on behalf of government, every single time they should be sworn in, and if they get up there and lie, then they've committed perjury. They need to be sworn in. How dare these people get up there and make announcements that are not subject to perjury? I'm sorry. That's not reasonable when the person has the kind of power they claim to have over me. It's just not reasonable.
Exactly. I was thinking about this issue this morning with regard to the licensing. Now, back in when the counties were first established, they wanted to have a marriage license, okay? And so people who were going to get married had to get a license. And then you had when cars became available and people were driving, then you had to have a license for that. And just about every institution, whether you're operating no matter what you're operating, your nursing homes, your hospitals, just about everything has to have a license in order to operate. And so that is what ties these businesses into being obedient for fear of losing
right.
their license.
Sure, or certificate of occupancy. Just having a building, just opening it. You got to get a certificate of occupancy. They can just pull it. Forget the fact that they can just take your license away so you can't make a living anywhere. They can pull the CO. so that you must comply. And this is the system they use. And all these licensing things are, they're not, they have nothing to do with safety. Nothing. I did a show on this in Shokia. There's nothing to do with safety, because if it had something to do with safety, when there was a problem, you'd be able to sue the licensing board because they've licensed someone who commits negligence. Well, that's what insurance is for. You carry malpractice insurance, you commit negligence, they come after your insurance. Well, why are they licensed if they're not competent and qualified? Licensing has nothing to do with anything except for the ability to control that group so that at any time they can just threaten them with things like you just talked about, where they require that you do something. I'm sure they're going to require that lawyers, in order to operate and be licensed and go into court, have to go get this vaccine whenever it's done. I'm sure they'll do that. And then what?
Wow.
And then what do you do?
Exactly.
Real estate license, barber, massage, to do somebody's nails, you have to have license.
Right.
Just to manicure somebody's nails, cut their hair, you got to have a separate license.
I mean, exactly.
This is what people accept.
Exactly. And I think it's outrageous. Because the government can control every single business, every single person, as you said.
Of course.
You can't
think about this.
You can't get a pedicure.
Well, think about this. You have a right, a supposed under the Constitution, to counsel. Because there weren't even law schools when the Constitution was written. So there weren't really lawyers. There were people who were trained in law. You just apprenticed. Okay, you didn't go to law school and do an accredited law school. Now, the only way you can get a lawyer says you have a right to counsel. Well, you only have a right to whoever the government has said can be a lawyer. Well, most of the cases you need are against the government. So you can only pick from people who the government says are allowed to represent you. It's
wow.
It's completely and utterly insane that people are okay with that. The last thing you need is a government being able to tell you who can represent you against the government.
Wow.
But people can't see this kind of thing that's just sitting right there in front of them. They can't see it because they're so deeply brainwashed from the time they're born. They just can't see it. Something that obvious.
We've all gone to government schools. Most of us have gone to government schools. We've been programmed to look to authority figures. A doctor in a white coat with a stethoscope is supposed to know more about you than
right.
you do. So we have been trained
from birth
up.
You know, that was a marketing campaign? Were you aware of that?
What?
That white lab coat, that was a marketing campaign dreamed up, I think, in the 1930s. The doctors never wore them before. But they dreamed it up, that they would dress them up in these white lab coats, and they would push that as a way to give them a greater sort of throw weight with people. And that's how it came about. It was 100% a marketing scam to push on people.
Right.
Which is right to your point, that people just, anything that has a sense of authority, the people are just so scared to comment about it. You know, they just
right.
shout it down. Are you a doctor? Are you an expert?
Right.
It's just meaningless.
Do you think, and I was thinking about this morning also, thinking about it a lot, the Affordable Health Care Act that was signed into law by Barack Obama in 2010.
Yeah.
We have a break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break, but it's something to really think about in terms of what's going on now. We'll be right back. Righty, we are back with our guest, Legal Man, and I brought up the idea of the Obama Affordable Health Care Act, and the minute that happened, I said, wow, that's great. Everybody is forced to buy insurance. Just like everybody was forced to buy car insurance. Everybody was forced to buy home insurance. What a boon for the insurance companies.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole system is just, it's such a scam from top to bottom. there's the absurdity of the idea that a limited federal government, which is what these people constantly tell us we have, could somehow take over my health care.
Right.
It's just on its face, it's preposterous. It's just utterly preposterous on its face. And the idea, and it all stems from this idea that the Supreme Court gets to hear the case and then decide whether or not the law, it quote, is constitutional or not, which again is just another thing that's simply not true. And I don't know how many different ways I can show people and tell people, but it's just idiotic. Nobody would agree. Nobody would fight a war with the biggest superpower of the time that went on for a long time, was very expensive, cost a lot of people their lives, property, all sorts of other things. And at the other end of it, dream up this idea that some kind of star chamber with an unknown group of people, unknown number of people who would sit for life, that they would have no control over, would have a case come up that has no control over the facts, over the legal representation of the arguments being made, anything. And that whatever opinion they cobbled together was now the law of the land for all times. Everybody stuck with it for all times. Unless you can get 75% of the states to create a constitution. Nobody would agree to that. There's literally no discussion about it at all in the supposed Holy Federalist Papers. There was no discussion about any of this. The Supreme Court does not make the law of the land. It's there to resolve a single case between the litigants. That's it. And if it was anything else, there would have been so much discussion because nobody would agree to this crazy system. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And I woke up when with Roe v. Wade. I thought, wait just a doggone minute. What are they saying? We can kill babies now?
Well, it's a classic. Emanations from penumbras. This is the justification in the opinion, that there's emanations from penumbras, meaning there's these vague terms coming out of these clouds in the Constitution. It's just utter garbage. First of all, it's a 14th Amendment case, and the 14th Amendment was never ratified. I did a show on that. It's not even a close call. It's preposterous. You can't haul out the elected officials in a state, put in a military government, have them vote for the amendment, and say that the people agreed to it. That doesn't make sense. But Roe v. Wade is another classic example. Abortion was illegal in every single state that ratified the Constitution in 1790, and again after the Civil War, after the 14th Amendment was jammed through, all of the states also made it a crime, and it was a crime in almost every state up until 1960. The idea it
exactly.
could be unconstitutional is absurd. Absurd.
Exactly. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We will be right back after a quick station break.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our first guest today is Legal Man, and he claims that he is America's most trusted lawyer, and I do trust him. I do have a personal lawyer that I also trust very much. So I have two lawyers that I really trust. His website is thetruthaboutthelaw.com. He has a podcast called The Quash, and it is available at the-quash.captivate.fm. And Listen to the episodes. They're just fabulous. He knows what he's talking about. And on his website, he has William Casey says, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false," unquote. That's so true.
Yeah, it really is. I think they overshot their mark.
Yeah, they really did a bang-up job, didn't they?
It's so bad.
Now, one of the podcasts that you did, in August, was that the FDA and the CDC are unconstitutional.
Yes, they clearly are. It's not even a close call. It's just not. I mean, the federal government had to get a constitutional amendment in order to ban alcohol. But now we supposedly have this regulatory system set up where just a bunch of bureaucrats in down the bowels of the CDC and the FDA can just dream up anything they want. The Department of Justice just puts any type of substance or anything they want on different lists, and it can become a serious felony. It's outlawed. You have to get a prescription. You have this, you have that, you have the requirements. They have absolutely no authority to do any of that. If they had the authority to do any of that, they wouldn't have needed a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol. They would have just banned it, or they would have just created the FDA and banned it. It's not a close call. And the fact that nobody discusses it, that they allow this obviously outrageously unconstitutional agency to continue to operate and to control food, drugs. You think the founding fathers were okay with the federal government controlling food and drugs and disease? That's crazy. They never would have agreed to such a thing, and they don't have any such authority. It's just clear as day they don't have that authority, but nobody talks about it.
Right. Well, the FDA was created in about 1906.
Well, that's a forerunner for it. That's a forerunner to it. It's not really the FDA at that point. It was, it has very minor things for interstate travel. You know, that's all it really was.
But when you have an entity, a government entity, and you just keep adding, privileges, they keep taking privileges and pretty soon they're controlling your entire life.
Right. Well, and again, if the FDA, if people want to trace its supposed roots, right, back to the early 1900s, which I think that's a distortion that's in the history. I've seen that exact same thing as well. But regardless, if they want to say that's the supposed roots of it, and that today it has the authority to ban all these substances, why didn't they just ban alcohol? Why did they need a constitutional amendment? Because it existed prior to the time of, I guess it was the 19th Amendment that outlawed alcohol, that just banned it. Why didn't they just have the FDA ban it? Why did they have to get a constitutional amendment if the FDA traces its roots to prior to that time? There's no explanation for it. It's just another glaring hole in their argument, because what they do is they claim all these powers through the Interstate Commerce Clause. Well, the Interstate Commerce Clause is massively abused. I mean, just ridiculously so, by the Supreme Court. And I like to give people the most famous Interstate Commerce Clause case there is that every law student studies, Wicker v. Filburn. And in Wicker v. Filburn, the case basically was about these 1930s big New Deal garbage, where they were regulating any and everything. And a farmer, they were regulating all this food, and a farmer was growing grain on his own farm and feeding it to his own animals on his own farm. Okay, that was something that the federal government claimed it had a right to regulate, okay, that it had a right to regulate. There's nothing interstate commerce about that. So it goes up to the Supreme Court, and the holding in Wicker v. Filburn is that because if he had not grown that stuff on his own property, he would have had to have gone to the market and purchase it. And if he went to the market and purchased it, there was a good chance that he could have purchased something that had traveled in interstate commerce. Therefore, by not going to the market and purchasing it, he affects interstate commerce and it's reachable. Well, anybody can see with a definition like that of interstate commerce that the federal government's entitled to control, there's literally nothing they can't reach. You grow food in your own yard? Well, that's Wicker v. Filburn. If you're not growing it, then you have to go to the store and buy it. Therefore, growing in your own yard is something they can regulate.
And they have in certain areas.
And they do.
Yes.
And they claim to be able to. This is my point. This is my point. And, you know, so to talk about a limited government, these are just the empty words, which is just, you know, it's full circle back to the way we kind of started our conversation, which is just, it's just empty words by these people. Facts don't matter. I tell people the facts of Wicker v. Filburn and show them that under no circumstances can that be described as a limited government. If they can regulate the food you grow in your own yard and feed to your own animals, that's not limited. It's not limited. That's all there is to it. It's not limited. And to speak of it as being limited is nonsensical at that point. It's just totally nonsensical.
Right. Now, we have very common views on the so-called Civil War, which was an assault against local authority, against states' rights, against everything. It was terrible. There, thousands upon thousands of people were slaughtered. All the animals were slaughtered in the South. The food production was destroyed. They absolutely destroyed that area of the country. And they did it using a false flag situation. Do you want to say anything about the Civil War?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the Civil War, first of all, it's not a Civil War. You know,
no.
They mischaracterize it as a Civil War because in a Civil War, there's factions fighting over control of the central government. That's what
right.
a Civil War is. Well, you don't have that. You have a group of people who left, started their own country. They weren't trying to exert authority over the North in any way. They just said, leave us alone. And so right off the bat, the way they brainwash people about it, calling it a civil war, to quote, hold the Union together, makes no sense because the Union was already not together. People don't seem to understand that they run around talking about the vote. The vote has so much of, oh, we fight for the vote and all this crap you hear all the time about the vote. Well, the people in the South waited, and when Lincoln was elected with no votes at all from any of the Southern states, they realized at that point that it was over, that any possibility they have of being able to control their own fate or to be able to exert any control over the legislative process at the federal level was gone. They were now a permanent minority, and they were just going to be abused with taxes and imposts and everything else. And the only reason a real discussion can't be had about it is because they've cloaked it in this nonsense about racism and slavery. It makes no difference what the war was fought over. Lincoln made it very clear. He couldn't have made it any clearer that the war was not about slavery. He penned a letter and had it posted in the newspaper, which was the way you sent public notice back there of a position to clarify his position. He said if he could free the slaves, he would. If he could keep them all slaves, he would. If he could free some and keep others slaves, he would. All he cared about was keeping the Union together. So it wasn't about slavery from the North side. From the South, of course it was. Was it only about slavery? Of course not. But it was significantly because their entire economy and way of life was based on slavery. Does that mean slavery's okay? No, it means that they shut down any actual discussion of the real issues of that war by calling you a racist. People are afraid to take a position on it because you're immediately, oh, you're for slavery, you're a racist. No, let's just take that off the table, because the issue that you have to discuss with the Civil War is this government we have a government of the consent of the people? Well, obviously slaves, they're not consenting to be slaves. I agree, they aren't. And you could fight a just moral war to go down and free slaves. You can do that. But you can't then take the next step and force those people who voted to leave into your country and claim that those people have consented to be in the country. They have to pick or choose. They can either have fought a moral war to go down there and the country was done. There was no longer consent of the people. they didn't.
Well, the fact is that the North had slaves also, and the so-called Civil War did not free the slaves in the North. They just freed the slaves in the South. And it wasn't until a year after the war started that they decided that that was what it was about.
Of course, it's idiotic. They run around, they celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation. It only freed slaves in areas that the North couldn't control. Thus, in other words, it freed nobody. And so it's another one of these fake, turned on its head narratives that people believe. But again, as soon as you start discussing the Civil War, okay, if you take the South side, all you do is get labeled as a racist, and they shout you down and say you're in favor of slavery. You're not allowed to have an honest conversation about it, and you can't have an honest conversation about it. They can never allow an honest conversation because it proves that there is no consent of the people. There is no consent of the people. The federal government does not have the consent of the people. It is a tyranny on the people, but they claim that their authority comes from the fact that it's of, by, and for the people. Well, if the people don't consent, then it's not of, by, and for the people. It's just not, and there's no way around it. I've had countless arguments with people on this issue. Oh, it was a rebellion. Oh, and the rebellion's illegal. Whatever you want to call it, the actual system that happened was the people in the southern states, in each state, voted to leave. They voted to leave. They didn't just start a war. They voted to leave. Well, if your vote means anything, then if you don't want to be part of something that you are now a minority that's getting abused, then your vote doesn't matter. And all of this nonsense about how, well, it was the union, that they couldn't vote to leave. Well, what do you mean? There's no theory in the law that allows you to join into an irrevocable union through some other agent. There's not even one where you'd be able to enter into it yourself. But nobody who voted to leave in the Civil War had voted to ratify the Constitution, and they hadn't authorized it. And so there is no agency theory that holds the government together. And the founders were well aware of all this. They knew that Constitution, the vote, and the federal government, that wasn't binding people for all times. They knew that. They weren't fools. And so this Civil War, which is really the start of all the problems, because that's when the country failed. It was scaling up over years and years and years, and it failed in 1860. That's when the system could no longer work together, and it broke apart, and that's it.
When you consider, I refer to the so-called Civil War as the first successful Marxist revolution, because a lot of the people from 1848 revolution, Marxist revolution in Europe, came over and fought on the side of the North. And, and even before that, most of the big plantations in the South were owned by people who came from the North and stole the land. and the small slave owner, maybe he had one person, who worked with him. They would work in the fields together. It was just totally misrepresented, the whole so-called Civil War. And, Marx and Engels just absolutely loved Lincoln. And going back to the Constitution, that was written by a bunch of privileged men who were the people. Did the people mean us or the people?
Sure.
The privilege.
Well, you know, the regards to the Constitution, this is another one of these very fundamental misunderstandings that the people are taught, and that is that they tie them together. Oh, there's the Revolution and the Constitution. Yay. Okay, they just leave out the Articles of Confederation. And the Articles of Confederation is what the people chose after the war. And the Articles of Confederation are nothing like the Constitution. They kept the federal government small. And people, they don't understand what happened with that Constitutional Convention. The Constitutional Convention was completely and totally lawless, and in fact, tons of the representatives walked out because they had no authority to do it. They were not authorized by Congress to go and write a new constitution. I did a whole article on my website about it. It's clear as day when you look at the actual facts that they kept it secret. You couldn't find out what happened. They didn't take any notes. Then they came out, and the vote itself, the ratification vote, was completely jerry-rigged. There were soldiers at the polls in Delaware. It was unanimously approved in Georgia within just a couple of weeks. And there's no way anyone could have even read it. There's so many things that are suspicious about it because the Constitution was jammed through because they needed those central banker kind of guys, the Hamiltons of the world. They wanted a big federal government. That's what the Federalists were all about. They were about a big federal government, and they sold this lie about a small federal government and how all the Articles of Confederation weren't working. There's too many fights between the states. We got to strengthen the federal government. That's what everybody learns in school. It's all just a complete load of crap as much as the Civil War narrative. The Constitution narrative is a lie, just like the Civil War narrative is a lie. The Articles of Confederation is what the people chose. That's exactly what they chose. Everybody hears about how Washington could have been king. Hey, everybody learns about that in school. Oh, he could have been king, and he was so fantastic, he chose not to. Look at the Articles of Confederation. You had to have unanimous consent of all the states.
And look what was found under the house that he lived in.
Of course. These founders, they act like these are the holiest men, and what they do, people do, the same kind of thing they do today, they pull up their writings, okay? They pull up what they say. Well, I don't care what they say, I want to see what they do. It's no different than pulling up some speech Barack Obama gave or Hillary Clinton gave. Okay, sounds great, it's nothing like what they do. They don't act consistently with their words. The fact that they want to pull these words up and say, look, this is who they were. No, that's just political demagoguery. It's just lies that people pass on as though it's somehow true. And no matter how many times politicians act inconsistently with their words, again, constitutional conservatives go back and look at words. They ignore deeds.
Right.
The deeds aren't consistent with the words.
Right.
They're
even
like
what, to the Hellfire Club where they sacrificed people and who it got him, he knows
Mason.
What they did.
Look at his grave. Look at his tomb. He's a 33-degree Mason. He's in full regalia.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. It's just this hero worship, this fantasy that the schools and the education system that are all run by the government and the media that are run by the six corporations create in people's minds. The people run around the rest of their life that they can never get out of it. They can never get out of the brainwashing.
Wow. How did you do it?
It took a long time, you know. There's things that start happening. The biggest one for me was 9-1-1. Just such a ridiculous narrative that it didn't hold up at all for any length of time. And one by one after that, I spent a good 10, 12 years, maybe up to almost 15-ish years, just researching every kind of issue and narrative, and it's literally, I have never in my entire life researched an official narrative that turned out to be true. Not one single time have I ever found any official narrative they pushed to be true. And I know people find that hard to believe, but that's the honest to God truth, and it's not something I'm happy about. I wish I was being told the truth. It's quite disturbing to realize how big the lies are. It's demoralizing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Continuous. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead. To change the bad to good, to live in harmony.
Alrighty, welcome back. Our guest is Legal Man. His website is thetruthaboutthelaw.com. And he has a great podcast called The Quash. And that is the-quash.captivate.fm. Listen to those. He just started back in May. And they're just fabulous. They're wonderful.
They can also just go to my Twitter. I always, I put it up there too. So they can go there at US Law Reviews. Probably an easy way to find it too if they're looking. I don't know if they're on Twitter. Who knows what people do.
Yeah. Okay. We've got your Twitter account posted here in the chat room.
Yes. Great.
Okay. You want to talk about Bill Gates? It is Bill Gates, Expose Bill Gates Saturday. The second Saturday of every month is Expose Bill Gates. And quite frankly, we've been exposing him and exposing him and exposing him. And he just keeps on doing what he does, which is
right. Killing
people.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing that's funny about this situation to me is this is another classic example of how people who love Trump will make excuse after excuse. He's pushing this warp speed vaccine crap. He's financing all these same exact kinds of things that Gates loves, and he doesn't come out and speak any truth about it. He has got such a massive platform. He has so much control and power over tens of millions of people. If he came out and said, stop wearing masks, they're garbage, okay? So many people would stop wearing masks that these mask mandates would go away. And the same kind of thing with this vaccine crap. If he came out and said, look, these vaccines are highly questionable, they're full of poisons, there's a lot of stuff, and we're not about to create one, and a guy like Bill Gates is awfully suspicious, he wants population reduction at the same time he's pushing vaccines, that doesn't make any sense. All the conflicts of interest Bill Gates has with regards to this stuff, the cost alone of these vaccines, if you watch that guy up in Canada, Rocco, I think that's his name. He's a great lawyer up there that he's got a lawsuit going up there. He's being paid for, and they got some slightly different procedural things, but he's put it out there. $105 per shot is what the vaccine these guys are going to get reimbursed.
Oh,
think about that. Billions and billions of people getting $105. There's people all over the world that don't even live on $105 a year. And there's tons of people living on less than a dollar a day, and this vaccine is going to require at least two doses, and it's not even going to do anything at that point. So they're going to spend a couple $100 on vaccines to vaccinate billions of people while people are starving, they don't have clean water. This is, no one's dying in any of these third world countries, and that Bill Gates, he just gets a free pass because people like Trump and these other people on the Republican side, they don't speak up. They don't speak any truth. They just don't.
Trump said that he did. He said, I'm going to stop funding the World Health Organization. Then he took that money and gave it to Gavi, which is
right.
Bill Gates.
That's what I'm saying. There's no truth being spoken. It's ridiculous what's going on to say that, make all these excuses for him, endless excuses for him. I mean, the guy's either brilliant, but everybody he hires around him is a deep state rat or he's incompetent. It's just like, which is it? Is the guy brilliant or is he in on it or is he not brilliant? Again, always the same thing, these disconnects. None of the stuff ever makes any sense together, ever.
All right, and he was going to drain the swamp.
Right.
The other thing that bothers me, too, is that his uncle, John D. Trump, who worked at MIT, was called in when Tesla died to look over all of Tesla's information, all of his research papers and everything. And basically what he said was, oh, there's nothing to see here. Oh, I disagree with that completely.
Of course. What were they doing going into his apartment and seizing all his papers? On what possible grounds do they do that?
Right.
I mean, gross overreach, just absurd overreach. And, you know, this is what the FBI is. The FBI, people run around, they think it's some great thing. It's absurdly unconstitutional. Just
absolutely.
Laughably so.
As is the CIA.
Absurd. Of course, and to have armed federal agents who can keep secret records on the people, that The founders would never have agreed to that. Nobody in their right mind would agree to let a federal government have secret agents like the Stasi running around getting wiretaps and checking you out and then charging you from the Department of Justice, which incidentally we didn't get until after the Civil War. I mean, there was no Department of Justice. They cook all these laws up. I mean, so they got an investigative body. They make fake laws with a fake investigative crew and then a faked up group of lawyers. And then they try you in their own courts. And people run around and act like this is somehow a great system. It's mind-bending to me. I don't get it.
It is totally. Alrighty, we're going to go to a break. Maybe we'll take some calls after we come back. Be right back. Alrighty, we are back with our guest, legal man, who is the most trusted lawyer in America. The most trusted lawyer. Okay. I trust him. Anyway, we do have a caller. We'll give your voice a little bit of a rest. We have Bobby in Florida.
Oh, Deanna, it's a pleasure to call you. I mean, I love your show. You got a really good show today. I just want to make up a point that I think everything's been controlled by pedophiles, and I think that I think Donald Trump, the Epstein thing, when that thing, the whole thing unraveled, there's the truth of it all right there. I mean, there's people who have come out, if you listen to Maria Farmer, what she said about Trump being at these apartments all the time, and I don't know if he was on the airplane or whatever, and I think they've got him controlled, and I think it's a Mossad operation. I think the Israelis are behind a lot of it, and when he went on television and he said, he did two interviews, and he said he wished Maxwell, I couldn't believe that. I mean, look at all the children that have come up missing. Look at all the children. No telling what they did to these kids, you know, satanic abuse or ritual or, and I just can't believe no one's questioning any of that. It just blows my mind. So that's all I wanted to bring up.
Legal man, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's clearly a lot of very strange stuff going on, and it's always very difficult to sort fact from fiction when it comes to this stuff, because all of these sort of governments, they use a style of propaganda called nonlinear disinformation. And nonlinear disinformation is a system whereby the government, through its sort of dark agencies and well, yeah, they finance every different kind of propaganda. Everybody knows about the old Leninist saying that if you want to control the opposition, you run the opposition. And this is sort of the final stage of it. They don't just run an opposition. They literally fund all sorts of different theories. And then they fill the web and the news services and all sorts of different places and stories with facts, quote unquote, and stories, and whether or not they're true or not, it's really very difficult to know. I've been personally involved in multiple different stories that made sort of local news and regional news and film, television, and print. And I know other people who've also been involved in that. And I know that if you read the story or saw the news story, you would have no idea what's happening. It's totally and completely misreported. And so, yes, do I think the people running things are a bunch of twist-offs? Yes, I think they're a bunch of twist-offs. Can I really get facts about it? No, I can't. What I get is this theory, this concept that they, you know, are Satanists, and they worship this, and they do this stuff for the kids, and, you know, everybody's got the, adrenochrome. They got all these different theories, and you know, they find kids and people escape and they claim people were involved. And would I doubt it? No, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't put anything past these people. I just say that whether or not it's pedophiles or drugs or whatever it is, I mean, there's everybody who reaches a position of authority and power at any kind of level is somewhat compromised. Whether or not they're fully compromised or not, I tend to believe they probably are just from looking out at the facts, which is that nobody is speaking up on any issue. Nobody in public life challenges the official narrative on anything. They all fall into line. And the only possible explanations are they're compromised, or every single one of them is just a true lowlife who enjoys doing it and doesn't need to be compromised. And I don't know which is true, but both are bad answers. Okay, they're both bad answers. I just say that there's so much focus on this idea of the pedophiles, and as though it's come to light. People, I guess they don't remember the Franklin cover-up from the late 80s and the early 90s.
Gosh.
You know, and so it's the people who follow this today, they act like, or they believe that this is something that's sort of a new thing that's sort of just now being discovered, and that's why they thought Trump was going to, you know, clean up deep state and all this other crap, and none of it happened. It's because this stuff's been going on for a long time, and it does appear to be intergenerational. You can just look at you can look at Barbara Bush and see that she doesn't look like her father.
She looks like Aleister Crowley.
She looks exactly like the guy. And you look at how, when she was born and all the different stuff, it's like, well, it's very suspicious circumstances. You start connecting facts. You've got circumstantial evidence, and people, circumstantial evidence, no good. Look, eyewitness testimony sucks. They do psychological test after psychological test. They run experiments after experiments. Everybody's seen the gorilla run out on the basketball court that nobody saw until it was pointed out to you. Eyewitness testimony sucks. And circumstantial evidence is just as good as all sorts of other evidence. And so is there evidence that these people are twist-offs? Yes, there is evidence. But it's... to me, the reason I don't focus much on it is because I can't get people convinced of things that are straightforward, like these simple legal issues I present. It's impossible for me to make a jump to try to reach somebody with the idea that everybody running around there is a pedophile or they're all hiding them. So for me, it's just a practical thing. Whether I personally believe it or not, whether people believe it or not, well... it's just a tough sell, and so I don't start with it. If so, as people wake up more and more, then you can feed that to them and maybe give them an idea. But you know, you can see people, you can be, at least in my area, I've been all over the world, spray us like bugs night and day. Well, you point that out to somebody, they think you're a kook. What do you think they're going to do if I tell them that these people are pedophiles? And it's discrediting, and that's why, even though I think there's a lot of truth to it, I don't know how much truth there is to it, and it's not something that's provable. It's just something that's just got this conspiratorial sort of air to it, a lot of non-facts, and just a lot of sort of bad circumstances, and that's why I avoid it, because you have this non-linear disinformation that you don't know how much of that is not true. See, with typical controlled opposition, what they do is they present a lot of truth. And that's because they have to, otherwise the person wouldn't be credible. No different than Snowden and Assange and all these people. They release stuff that's kind of true, okay, just like this pedophile stuff. Maybe this stuff a lot is true, maybe it's not. But if you're promoting it, or if you're pushing it on somebody, and there's something hidden inside the information they've been feeding you that's total crap that they can then blow up later and prove it wasn't true, well, that massively discredits you. And since there's no way to be able to figure out which parts of it's true and which is not, that's why I tend to stay away from it. I tend to approach all of these issues like a trial lawyer and then, look, what can I actually prove? What can we actually prove here if we had to make a case? And just a bunch of innuendo and circumstance that could be explained in other ways, that's not good enough when the charge is that outrageous. To me, it's just not good enough.
Right. Well, I don't know. I when he wished her well, knowing what she did, you know, I ain't gonna dance around that. I mean, that's very crap. And when the Pizzagate come out, all of a sudden this word fake news came out, okay? So, and when I read those emails, and then also the Assange guy, he's all locked up. Yeah, it could all be a psyop over a psyop, but there's something more to it. These people are controlling somehow.
Agree.
And Israel is behind it too. And I'm naming them. I believe the Mossad had a lot to do with 9/11 after reading some things, learning some things. And, I believe they're behind it. And I believe they control this country. They're in every part of our government. They control the media. So yes, well, you know, I know the legal things, all that stuff, it's very important. But when it comes to children, I mean, that really gets to my heart when I hear this. I just think the man is despicable for even saying that he wishes that woman well. That speaks volumes to me, sir. I don't care. The things he said about his daughter on television, almost like he'd have sex with her. I think he's a scumbag, and people say he's a Christian. Well, Christians don't build casinos, okay? I'm not a Christian, but they don't build casinos, you know, or they don't... I said in my piece.
Okay.
I'll let you go.
Well, hey, thank you, Bobby. Thank you for calling in. Take care.
Let me make sure that he's listening. Now, I'm not saying that I don't believe the things. I think that the evidence is, for me, it's very strong. And if you put a gun to my cat's head and said choose, I would say, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. About all those issues. It's just, for me, I look at that, I say, well, okay, it is true. But see, it's a very emotionally charged issue for people. And I don't blame him for it being an emotionally charged issue. It's just a horrible thing going on. But of course, so is just dropping bombs on people all over the world, which we do. And nobody
exactly.
I mean, you go up there and watch a little kid get blown apart. All these people who got burns all over their body. Their houses are destroyed. I mean, they're put into poverty. Their families are broken up. There's all sorts of things that are horrible going on that you can focus on. And I'm not diminishing the fact that they are problematic, and I agree, all those things he said, they're not consistent with somebody who's uncompromised. They're not.
Exactly.
The very fact that Epstein died in their custody, and nothing happened to those people. We never got any investigation. They just transferred the person in charge of that prison. Like, that's just a classic cover-up, and they use the same tools over and over again. And they move the people on to the next supposed thing you're supposed to focus on, and you never, ever, ever get any resolution to any of these things. Nobody goes to prison. Nothing's
ever
investigated.
And they're certainly not going to talk about this on national news. They're not going to talk about the frequent flyers on the Lolita Express. They're not going to talk about any of that stuff.
Never. Because they're all crooked at the core, and that's my point, is that it doesn't matter if they're all pedos or whatever it is. They're all clearly compromised in some form or fashion, whether or not they're drug addicts, whether or not they like to have prostitutes, whether or not they're pedophiles, whether or not they got some other crazy kink, whether or not they're just crooked and love money. We don't know what it is, but it's undeniable that they do not have our best interest at heart and that we don't have a side. That's undeniable, and that's, to me, that's the important part, is it's not that whether or not they're this or that or whether you use this system or that system to try to prove it. You can look at the results and see we don't have a side.
Exactly.
There's nobody standing up. Nobody is standing up in public life and addressing the issues like that man did there in Florida. Nobody. No one's even raising the issues. That to me, you know, the old Sherlock Holmes, the dog who didn't bark. For me, lots of times the most information you get is not from the questions, the answers that you get from a question. It's from the questions that aren't being asked. And they don't ever ask any pertinent questions. It's one thing for someone to lie after they get a question. You expect that from a politician. But the real answer is being able to see what's not there that should be there. Most people spend all their time focusing on what's there that's wrong and not true, as opposed to what's not there that should be there if these other things were true. Well, one of them would be a lot of people who are curious and investigating this stuff, but there aren't any. And so that alone tells you that, as Voltaire said, if you want to know who rules you, you just see who you can't criticize. So you look at what's not asked, what isn't being subjected to scrutiny, and you can know, well, there's a reason. There's a reason.
Exactly. All righty. Let's take Richard in Alabama. Richard, really quick.
Hi.
Hi.
There's some things that judges have said that are truly outrageous, and I'm I'm going to give you three or four of them. Judges say.
How about just one?
The rules of court trump the Constitution.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the courts are totally out of control. And I've done episodes and showed people that you don't have to just impeach them. They don't sit for life. It's not what the Constitution says. It says they sit for a term of good behavior. That's all. You don't have to impeach them. They aren't the law of the land. They are not the law of the land. They are a system whereby the politicians pretend to be subject to these courts because they love the courts because they're able to push through things they could never get a vote on. So they act like they're this holy star chamber we all have to bow down to, and they aren't. And it's ridiculous to me, but it's another example of the fact that nobody speaks truth about this. And the fact that they're not speaking truth is because they are benefiting from having a system where they can blame the courts for things that they know they all want to push through and they don't have the votes for. And so judges are tyranny. And if you think judges are you don't like judges, then you will love my Twitter and my podcast because I show people without any possible doubt that what they're told about the courts and the way the legal system works, none of it's true. It's a complete fraud from top to bottom.
Exactly. All righty. We do have a bunch more callers, so, Richard, we're going to cut you loose. Thank you so much for calling in. Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, quickly.
Hi. Well, I recommend that you become a Christian because I think Christians have more effect on what's going on that look totally impossible.
Instance, who's supposed to become a Christian?
He should.
Well, that's can you ask a question?
Ask a question. Okay. Well, I want somebody who will tell the truth, you know, like when you take all these vitamins and you get well, then medicine takes credit for it, huh? No, medicine's out there killing people. No, what can I do to prove it? So I look at the guy who tries to take away my use of vitamins, and guess what? They're all Democrats, okay? And I know Trump believes in taking something natural or something
right.
that you can get hold of. So he's
right.
actually
You're talking
proven.
About Codex, right?
Codex what?
Codex, when they want to take over the control of vitamins and supplements.
No, I'm just thinking that people have done it over the years. Some guy named Waxman out in California, he had a bill in to make vitamins prescription. Well, that would
okay,
make a problem.
Pat, we're going to cut you loose because we have to move on. We've got some other callers. So thank you so much for calling in. Have a good day. All righty. We have Charles in Florida. Charles?
Hello, Deanna, yes, and hello to your guests, too. Common law and constitutional law are two different laws. I can believe somebody that says that common law, which is the king's law, trumps constitutional law. They can refer back to somebody like Chief Justice Cook, C-O-K-E, in the time of Charles I, and get some reference from the Chief Justice of England, which countermands and supersedes the Constitution. It's just like that when the original 13th Amendment was passed, when Abe Lincoln came into office, it disappeared and went down the memory hole during the Civil War and was replaced by another 13th Amendment.
Right.
It's all conveniently for these lawyers. You know, they just decree that corporations are people and people are not people. You know, like
right.
the sidebar decision of the Supreme Court in 1881. You know.
Okay. Legal man, what are your views on that?
Well, you know, this concept of common law, I get this a lot. The reality is that the guy you're talking about, Koch's legal doctrines, that guy was also not the people's friend, trust me. Just like the Magna Carta, it was completely ignored as soon as it was signed. It was laughably ignored, and so people trace all this stuff back. But even if it did, this idea that somehow we're bound to common law and that somehow the Constitution either trumps it or doesn't trump it, there's nothing in the Constitution which supposedly gives us the law. It's the supreme law of the land. It doesn't say that we shall be ruled by English common law. So there's no reason to, as a practical matter, say that we should be able to look back at a country that we fought a war to leave, and now we're going to go back and we're bound to whatever their common law says. It's not that it's not true. It's just that that doesn't make any sense. It's not part of the construction of the document. And the problem is that the document is crap. And the document, the way it's interpreted by the courts is not realistic. And so this is a huge topic, whether or not, I would say the more important distinction is not between common law and constitutional law, because they're allegedly the same to the extent that common law is always brought into these constitutional decisions. I'd say the more important distinction is between statutory law and natural law. Those are a much more important distinction that people are not made aware of. And I think that this common law, constitutional law example is a great example of what I would call a false paradigm that's put out into the system, which is that they get people spending a lot of time arguing about it and thinking about it, when the reality is the more important one to learn is natural law. We don't need these statutes. We don't need to look back at what some judge said. Who cares what some judge said 300 years ago? I don't care. I wasn't in the case. You're not in the case. Who cares what they said? I'm entitled to the best justice I can get in my case. And to bind me to some previous decision because some other judge said that in some case, oh, I know that case was crooked. A judge was crooked. It's a crappy decision. See, that's all stare decisis nonsense. Each case is supposed to stand on its own. And the idea that you get some kind of a permission from a previous appellate court in order to make a just ruling is nonsense, because when the Magna Carta went down, which is the basis of all this common law stuff that people all like to talk about, juries couldn't read. They couldn't read. They were given one duty, and that was to do their conscience. There was no jury charge and all this other crap. The jury was in charge. And the jury listened to the facts, and they did what they thought was right. They didn't have to go back and look and see what some other jury in some other town had said years ago about the issue. Each case stands on its own. Each case stands on its own. And it's the worst kind of tyranny to try to apply a legal rule that makes no sense in a case just because it's, quote, a legal rule that must apply in the case. This is a very good example to me of the false narrative they slip in. And then they just waste huge amounts of time of people spending around arguing about whether it's common law or constitutional law when the real issues are these ones I've just described.
All righty. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. We do have a chance in West Virginia. Very quickly, because we're just about out of time.
Yes, hello, Deanna. Excellent guest. Excellent guest. Legal man, you're a very objective thinker. You're just like me. You refuse to be pigeonholed into the left, right, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican paradigm, which is a whole bunch of crap.
As for me, have a question?
As for me, I'm neither anti-Trump nor pro-Trump. I just don't trust the man. And for that reason, it does get lonely at times because people like me and you refuse to be pigeonholed into a group. And that's what makes you unique, legal man. What I called about is I missed your contact information. If you can give that out, please, sir.
Well, the easiest way to reach me is probably just go to Twitter. I'm legalman at U.S. Law Review. That's really one of the easiest ways, because I go to Twitter and you'll see me. I'm relatively active. If people will go there, they'll see me.
And I just posted it in the chat room. So if you visit the chat room, you can pick up his Twitter account. It's spingola.chatango.com.
And I'm just go to Twitter and go to @USLawReview. @USLawReview.
Thank you, legal man. God bless now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chance. Okay. Well, that's great. You just, and you have a cat? Did you say you have a cat?
Yes, I've had cats. I've had dogs too. I love cats and dogs. I love all animals.
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty. Well, that's great. So we've got just a couple of minutes, well, maybe 2 minutes, to wrap this up. Any last, well, not last words, any more, wisdom that you
care
to
share? You sound like you have listeners that I'm not surprised, they definitely seem to know what's going on, and they seem like-minded, just like we are, and, it's nice to have a conversation to hook up with some like-minded people, and that's one of the reasons I'm on social media, and that's why I would say, slip over to my Twitter account, because if they have some more questions, they can ask me there, and if I see them, then I interact a lot with the people who follow me, I try to do that, because that's really what I'm there for. I'm there to interact with like-minded people and to laugh at the craziness that's going on all around us. And, it's limitless. We could talk for hours and hours and hours and never get to the bottom of it.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. Our time is up, and I'll see you at Twitter. Bless you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. All righty, we'll be right back.